Okay, we are here in Yesodus and Chumash, and what we try to do is to analyze something from the Parsha from a fundamental perspective. What I mean to say is not necessarily in a Dvar Torah or, you know, an insight into a particular part of the Torah or Pasuk, but really a concept, a fundamental yesod to take with us. So I would like to speak a little bit about Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, of course, all the Avos are Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. However, Yaakov Avinu is the grand finale and the climax of the Avos. And I'd like to talk a little bit about his role. We started this a little bit when we were talking about the Avos in general. We talked about Avraham being the Midah of Chesed, Yitzchak being the Midah of Din, and Yaakov being something in the middle. It has different names. It has the name Emes. Yaakov's the Midah of Emes, the Midah of Rachmim, the Midah of Tiferes. All different names, and we'll try to deal a little bit with what Yaakov is supposed to mean to us and what the Avoda of Yaakov is. Another Midah of Yaakov, and this is what I'd like to focus on, which is really tied to all this, is Yaakov is called Kadosh. And we actually know this from Mefarshim in the Tefillah, the first bracha that we say in Shmona Esrei. The Mefarshim bring down is Avram's bracha, which is an easy one. The bracha ends Magen Avram. It's a bracha of chesed, the midah of chesed of Hashem, and Avraham embodied that midah. What's called ha'avos hein hein ha'merkava means that each one of the avos, if you would look at them, they were a window into one of the midos of Hashem Yisbarach. So Avraham is the first midah, which is chesed, and the implications of why the first midah has to be chesed is because the first thing that we know about Hashem is that Hashem loves us and cares about us before anything else. The first gilui in the world has to be what we call olam chesed yibane, that the world was created, like the Mekubalim say, lehetiv im briyosam, so that Hashem should take care of us, that we should grow. That's the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. The second bracha of Shmona Esrei is called gvuros, which is the power of Hashem. That's the din in the world, and that's the bracha of Yitzchak Avinu. Yitzchak Avinu represents the person who takes himself to task to the utmost degree. Yitzchak, you'll be hard-pressed to find a chazal that's critical of Yitzchak Avinu. Even though you could find chazals about Avraham Avinu, Hashem was critical of Avraham. Right, Avraham asked by Emei, Dak Yerushena, how do I know all Yarshin Eretz? Ooh, a problem on his level of Emunah. Yaakov Avinu had that he put Dina in a box, and he also told Paro how difficult his life was, and different other issues. We don't find Yitzchak, we find one slight issue that's discussed in Chazal, that perhaps there is a slight taina that he thought Esav was supposed to be the one who gets the brachos, but it's very subtle and barely there. Yitzchak represents making it through Olam Hazeh with complete din, judgment. Yitzchak actually stands for, and you can see this in your sitters on Shabbos, Yitzchak stands for Yashar, Tzadik, Chassid, Kadosh, Yitzchak. That's all the levels of the Mesilas Yesharim. The Mesilas Yesharim is called Mesilas Yesharim, that's Yud. A Yashar is someone who's starting out and he sees the straight path ahead of him. He hasn't really begun, but he mapped it out. He's got Yashras. Then there's Tzadik, which is a person who follows the whole Shulchan Aruch. Then there's Chassid, which is somebody who has a relationship with Hashem like a son, father-son relationship, where he does more for his father than his father even asked him to do. He wants to have that relationship. That's chassidus. And kadosh is the climax where you're bringing the entire world to its tikkun and elevating everything around you. That was Yitzchak. Yitzchak's midas adin. That's the second brach of Shmona Esrei. The third bracha is Ata Kadosh. And this is the climax of the first three brachas. And it's really, these three brachas, the halachas are different for them, right? We have to have kavanah on a different level. And Ata Kadosh is keneged Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu represents Kedusha in the world. So let's try to understand what Yaakov Avinu's role was. Yaakov Avinu seems to be some sort of synthesis of the other Avos. And Yaakov Avinu's face is on the Kiseh HaKavod, which is interesting. That's quite a achievement. The Gemara says that the Shufra of Yaakov Avinu was the beauty of Adam HaRishon himself. If you wanted to see the beauty of Adam HaRishon, if you would look at Yaakov, you would have seen how beautiful Adam HaRishon is. You can only imagine how beautiful Adam HaRishon was. If you think about it, Adam HaRishon was the only person who was fashioned by Hashem. So I think we would be... I have reason to believe that we wouldn't... proofs that we would not have been able to see Adam HaRishon. He would have been invisible to our eyes. Which is kind of interesting, but if you think about it, it's very logical. Adam HaRishon, before he did the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, I'm talking about, when he was original man, Adam HaRishon was made of different things, and I don't think that we would be capable of even knowing he was in the room if he was here right now. He was an awe-inspiring figure, and Yaakov Avinu's face was that of Adam HaRishon. So somehow, Yaakov Avinu represents bringing the world back to the Adam HaRishon before the Chet. There's something about Yaakov that's bringing everything back. And we're going to try to understand this a little bit. Basically like this. The other Avos, Avraham Avinu is called Chesed, right? Chesed is, let's say, on what we're calling, it's a movement of on the right. Something moving in one direction, moving on the right. That's always, Chesed is the Yamin. Gvura is on the left. Yitzchak's moving on the left. Whenever you're moving in a direction away, whenever you're moving away, there's always going to be something that there's going to be a fallout because you're moving away. There's a center. You can picture the center. The center is where you see the unity in the Bria, where you see Hashem Echad. When you see Hashem is one, so over there, you see Hashem in his fullest. But if you see one midah of Hashem, just the Chesed of Hashem, there's going to be fallout because it seems to be running away from the middle. And the other side, the Gvura, is running away from the middle. So you need a bridge. You need something to put everything together. And that is what's called the Bria HaTichon, the Chud HaMeshulish. Yaakov Avinu is the one whose Midah is to synthesize everything and show you that Hashem is one. And show you that the entire Bria is going to one direction. That's really what Kedusha is. Kedusha is where I show you that everything in the world has holiness. What does holiness mean? Sounds very nice. Holiness. Holiness means that somehow every part of our lives is supposed to get us closer to Hashem, is supposed to elevate the world. Yaakov Avinu represented this total balance. And I'll show you a fascinating example of where. Yaakov Avinu, when we read these Rashis when we're kids, and they're very nice, but we don't realize the implications of this. Yaakov Avinu's first tipas zera, his first seed from his makom bris, created Reuven. He never saw any seminal discharge before the creation of Reuven. Now, that's an important thing to realize, by the way, and apparently that never happened to anyone else in history. It's just important to realize, and this is not the topic right now, but it's a biological phenomena that the body has a discharge. And maybe we'll discuss this at another time, but it's completely biologically normal and fakert. It's somewhat like miraculous for a body not to have any type of discharge. And Yaakov Avinu's first tipas zera started the Shvatim. What's the significance of that? Yaakov Avinu was about the direction of all of our kochos, all of our strengths, all of the physical world going to holy places. And so, the way it works by him is there's no fallout. Avraham Avinu had a fallout. Why? Because Avraham's going this way. He's not bringing things all to the center. He's going towards the right, towards Midas HaChesed. There's going to be a fallout. There's going to be a Yishmael. Yitzchak is going to the left to teach us about Din, but he's not going to the center because he's developing another Midah Vashem. There's going to be a fallout, and that's not their fault. It's actually supposed to be that way. There's going to be a fallout. Yaakov represents bringing everything, every ounce of Olam Hazeh towards its Tachlis. What did Yaakov Avinu go back for when he fought with the Malach? Why did he go back? Little jugs, right? Like, what is going on, right? Any thinking person has to wonder what happened over here. There was like a monumental fight between Yaakov and the Tsar of Esav, and what brought him back? Little jugs, you know, like, ooh, I forgot my coffee mug. He goes back for his coffee mug, and all of a sudden, there's one of the biggest biggest battle ever in history. You ever think about that? What does it mean, little jugs? So, the idea is that Yaakov can't waste anything. We just said that Yaakov never even wasted any of his seed. Yaakov Avinu can't waste a jug, because the pshat is, what Kedusha means is that everything in my life will be used to its fullest. So it's the opposite. There's no greater Kiddush, Kedusha, than going back for a little jug. Because it means that everything in my life, every ounce of what Hashem gave me, every little jug, every coffee mug, will be used to be Mala the Bria. Fascinating. That's absolutely fascinating. If you think about it, I would even tell you, and this sounds astonishing, the very same thing about Yaakov Avinu, that his first Tipas Zera was Reuven, is identical to the Avoda of going back for little jugs. He's about taking the entire Bria. You know, the Hasidim are very big on this, the whole world of the Talmidei Baal Shem, of taking the Kedusha in the mundane. That was a very big part of their Avoda, and it stems from this Avoda of Yaakov Avinu. That is the Kedusha of Yaakov, and if you want to see it in the word Echad, this is the Maharal, a beautiful remes. The word Echad is spelled, let's spell it, okay? We have Aleph. Aleph is Yaakov, number one, okay? Ches, 8 kids from Rachel and Leah, okay? And Dalet is from the 4 kids from Bilhah and Zilpah. So now you have the father, Aleph, Yaakov, and he's surrounded by his children, Ches, the Bnei Leah and Bnei Rachel, which were the Ikari Mahos, and Bilhah and Zilpah. This is unbelievable. And this represents Yaakov at the end of his life, when all of his 12 children were surrounding him. How many people were there? 12 and 1, which is Echad. 13 is Gematria Echad. And what did they say? What did they say in front of Yaakov? What famous tefillah? Well, first, before that, they said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Yaakov responded, Baruch Shem. What's going on over here? Why are they telling them that Hashem is one? The answer is that Yaakov's whole family mission was that even though we're 12, we have to all join and go to the middle. So you picture Yaakov in the middle. He's the Aleph. And he's surrounded by Ches and Dalet. And they all said, we're one family who are going to go and take over the world as Klal Yisrael, but we're all going to come back and show you the unity of the creation. And Yaakov needed to hear this message from his children before he left the world, because this was his mission. His mission was to show that even though there's many things going on in the world, but they're all converging to what? Echad, to one. Why don't I tell you something else interesting? Yeah, I'll tell you something interesting from the Mekubalim. This is something fascinating. If you take a cube, and this is not a small thing I'm telling you right now, if you make a cube, you know how to make a cube? Should we draw one? Or should we draw a cube? Okay, let's draw a cube. Do we have a piece of paper? I have a cute little pen that I found for my kids. Let's draw a cube. Okay, here we go. I'll do this. Okay. My art is not perfect, so you'll be mochel me. Okay, this is a cube. Everyone agree this is a cube? Okay. Cube, fine. How many sides does a cube have? This is where Kabbalah and geometry go together, by the way. Let's count all the sides. No, 1 second. Count carefully, all the sides. There are four on the top, four on the bottom, which is eight, and then on the sides. Here's what you do. Count the top ones, like the square on the top, it's a cube. The top has a four, right, a square. The bottom has a square, which is eight entirely. And then what are on the sides? Here, I'll teach you how to do it. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Here you see. Here. We'll discuss. We'll go into this later. But here, 1 second.
How many sides?
10, 11, 12. It's 12. Here, it's 12. Do you see how? The top square of a cube is 4. The bottom one is 4, right? 8, and then there's 9, 10, 11, 12. That's a cube. Okay, this is one of the oldest secrets of the Torah that I'm telling you right now, okay? What? The lines. The lines themselves. The bridges. Okay? Now, that's all of space. A cube is what we call a the definition of three-dimensional reality. Okay? It's all the different options. Number 12 is 12 shvatim. 12 is all the different ways you could create space, okay? But that's a very dangerous thing, the number 12. You know why the number 12 is very dangerous? Because the number 12 is going all over the place. It's going every direction. It needs something to bring it together, the one. 13 is Gematria Echad, and that's Yaakov. Aleph, there's a number one, a father with Ches and Dalet. And every time you say Shema, you can think about this, you go wild, right? That there needs to be a unifying factor in the Bria. That's Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was a necessary component of the Bria to create the Shvatim. He's the only one who could have done this. And that's why all of his children, it's what's called Mitaso Shlema. Yaakov's entire Mita, which means all of his offspring were Kadosh, were Klal Yisrael. And people make a mistake. They say, well, the Shvatim did things that were wrong, some of them sometimes, right, in the parshas, but they had a din of Yisrael, Afal Pisha Chata Yisraelhi. Yaakov set up such kedusha in his children that if they would do something wrong, they'd still be Klal Yisrael. Meaning they never did anything wrong that would take away their name Klal Yisrael. And for history, that's how it works. Even if we do things that are wrong, Rachman al-Itzlan, we're still Klal Yisrael. We never lose our shame. Esav became Yisrael Mumar, and he lost his Judaism. Yitzchak wasn't able to keep his children Jewish, all them Jewish. Yaakov wasn't, Abraham wasn't either. But Yaakov's whole koach was to create a whole world, like a cube, like a reality of space that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. As long as they never forget Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And that's why when Yaakov Avinu left the world, he was nervous. He was nervous that maybe there's a psul in my zera. Right? That's what he says. And how did they respond back? Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And this is why we say Baruch Shem. Why do we say Baruch Shem? Because Yaakov, when he heard that his children are all a reflection of Hashem's unity in the world of Kedusha, Yaakov said Baruch Shem. And we actually imitate that, which is actually fascinating if you think about it. Every other part of Kriya Shema, where's the source of it? Chumash. Thank you. It's in Chumash. every parshan in Shema is in the text of Chumash. Baruch Shem is nowhere to be found, which is incredible. Where did this come from? We have a Masorah that we put Baruch Shem as part of our Kriya Shema because of Yaakov Avinu's response to his children at the end of his life. The Rambam brings this in Hilchus Kriya Shema and says this is the reason we do it, which is actually fascinating. I mean, where did this come from? But it's Yaakov saying, my children will be an expression of Kavod Shem Shamayim. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchusel D'Olam V'Ed. Now that I know my children all believe that Hashem is one and will live a life like that, I can now say Baruch Shem Kivod Malchusel D'Olam V'Ed, that Hashem's Malucha, His kingdom, His honor, His name are all guaranteed for the future. Right? Amazing. Amazing. So that was Yaakov Avinu's koach. So let's try to understand a little bit deeper. Let's go over what we just saw. We saw that Yaakov Avinu is called Kadosh. We saw that that means that he elevates the Bria. We saw that in the Pachim Ktanim, in the little jugs that he went back for. We saw that in his Mitaso Shlema, that all his first Tipas Zera was used to create Shvatim. Right? We see it in the fact that his face is the face on the Kisei HaKavod, the face of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu represents being attached to Shamayim, where this world is seen as not a whole place, as not an empty place, but a place that Shayach to Kedusha. And it starts in the beginning of this week's Parsha. Very strange thing that happens. What happens? Yaakov Avinu, what does he do? Guys, I'm telling you things today that if you plug these in over years, you will answer hundreds of chazals that come your way. It seems like that's, meaning my goal in this year is to give you like keys. This is a key. If you look at all the different things, they all are going to come together as one. So now what happens? Yaakov Avinu comes and he goes to sleep in this place. He doesn't know it's a Makom Kadosh. Now, what happened in this place? How did Yaakov go to bed? What kind of bed did he have?
Rocks.
He had rocks. Okay, now what?
Rock.
How many rocks were there, by the way? 12. Isn't that interesting? We're back to 12 again. And what did the rocks say? The Medrash says, brought by the Mesilas Yesharim, that all the rocks said, Alai Yaniach Tzadik Rosho. I want to be under the head of a tzadik. Isn't this interesting? Well, first of all, when do we ever see rocks, you know, getting into a big commotion? And also, why do they want to become pillows for a tzadik? So listen to this amazing idea. And this is why the Mesilas Yesharim quotes this very subtly. He doesn't explain it specifically, but this is the idea. Yaakov Avinu represents raising the entire creation, right? Where's the Kedusha of a person? What makes a person Kadosh? What part of their body is the most elevated part of their body? The Neshama, and where does the Neshama rest? In the Seichel, in the human mind, right? That's where we are Mechadish Torah, that's where we have our beautiful thought process, that's where everything happens. What made Yaakov Yaakov? His head. And this is actually my own chiddush, but I sent it over to my rabbeim, and I got a haskama. So we're good to go. That's how it works. When you have rabbeim, you can either be makabel from them, or you can suggest kiddushei Torah and see if they go with them. The significance of these rocks wanting to be under the head of Yaakov was they knew that rocks are only meaningful in this world because who is here? Yaakov. Yaakov's the one who can take something that's an inanimate object and show you how Hashem is there. So if you're a rock, how do you feel in life? You don't feel very good. You feel like a stone, right? Like a stoner. You feel like something that has no meaning whatsoever. So where do you want to go? Alai yaniach tzadik rosho. I want to be a pillow for the one who makes me meaningful. That same Yaakov who makes pachim ktanim, who has his first Tipas Zera is the create Shvatim. All of the objects in the world, even the most lifeless, with no A rock is, as my Rabbeim explained to me, a rock is the most, it's the most bare minimum of matter. It has no definition. It feels so lost. And has no way of being Megala Kavod Shamayim. That rock runs to be under the head of the tzaddik, because that head is what makes it meaningful. Alay Yaniach Tzaddik Rosha. And why are there 12 stones? So now you tell me yourselves. The 12 we explained is all the directions that could be, right? In a cube, there are 12 sides. It's the 12 Shvatim. It's anything that could be. Everything converges with Yaakov Avinu. With Yaakov Avinu, all the things that look like they're 12 become 13, right? Echad is Gematria, 13. So Yaakov Avinu's head became the place where all 12s become 13. Incredible. Incredible. And what happens in this place? Yaakov Avinu, first of all, I want to tell you that the Medrash says that Yaakov said, this is not known. A lot of people know the Medrash about Yaakov Avinu with the stones. But Yaakov said that if these stones converge into one, I know that I will have pure children. What's the connection? Yaakov said, if I see these 12 stones turn into one, I will have pure children. The answer is Yaakov was on a mission to take all the parts of creation that look like they're not Shaykh to Hashem and get them to become one. And he knew that if he was on that path, Alay Yaniach Tzadik Rosho, then he will be continuing that with his Tipas Zera, with the Kedusha of his Bris. Incredible. So now we get even deeper, and this is where it really gets... This we're going to be using the Nefesh HaChayim to explain this amazing idea. Yaakov Avinu has a dream. And this is a very interesting dream. The dream is of a ladder, right? And it's Rosho Magia Shamayimah. The top of the ladder is all the way at the Shamayim. But it's a Sulam Mutzav Arza. It's a grounded ladder. Now, what's the significance of this? A ladder that's grounded and that's going to Shemayim. Of course, all ladders, right? All ladders are grounded and in Shemayim. Obviously, when the Torah mentions this, this is very important. Says the Nefesh HaChayim, Yaakov Avinu saw, and the Malachim were going up and down, Yaakov Avinu saw the Yiddish Neshama. Yaakov was the one who saw the Neshama, but we all have this Neshama. We have what's called Yaakov Chevel Nachlaso, a rope, a spiritual rope connecting us all the way to the Kisei HaKavod. We're down here, we're doing our thing, we're Mutzav Arza, we're down here, but at the same time, we're not simple at all. All of us are Kadosh. How are we Kadosh? Because our Neshama, the bottom of our Neshama is down here, but it goes all the way to the top of the Shemayim. And when Yaakov went to sleep, he saw how great Yidden are, how great each Yid is. How did he see that? He actually saw that every time you do a mitzvah, it causes a malach to go up the ladder, and it causes a malach to go down the ladder. All the way. And all these rungs, what's the idea of a rung? Is levels. One level, to next level, to the next level, to the next level. But what do you also see about this? Some people, by the way, and this is a good hashkafic point, they think that you're supposed to live in Shamayim, and you look at them, they're like, oh, they're so holy and scary, right? My Rabbeim, and the way we were always taught, is the greatness of our Rabbeim is that they are what? Grounded. Normal. With us. Sulam Mutzav Arza. A major avoda of Kedusha is to not be in Shamayim. Listen to the reason why. This is incredible. If I want to show you that this world is Kadosh, right down here. So if I'm busy flying up out of this world, you're never going to see the Kedusha here. You're going to see it's Kadosh up there. And this rabbi is all the way up there. He flew up to Shemayim. No, the more grounded we are, the more here we are, then the more, and connected to Shemayim, the more we show that this world has Kedusha. That's the avoda of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov is Kadosh. We don't need someone to tell us that Shemayim is Kadosh. We knew that already. We don't need that. We need somebody to come to our world down here and show us that pachim ketanim, little jugs, a coffee mug is kadosh. That a tipa zera is kadosh. That 12 children can create an entire family who are entirely wired to shamayim. Mitaso shlema. That's the avoda of Yaakov. That inanimate objects could run to become a pillow for a tzaddik. That's his avoda, and that's what we have in this sulam. The sulam's not just telling you what a ladder looks like; it's telling you what avodas Hashem has to be. A person has to be sulam mutzav arza, committed to living down here, being part of the people. You know how many times I've been by Anashim Gedolim, and I've heard them say jokes, including Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, and Yibadol Ben Chaim L'Chaim, Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, Rav Chaim Pinchas Steinberg. Every time I was by them, they all were saying jokes. Rav Shmuel Orbach, Zatzal, all of them. Why? You know how hard it is to say a joke if you're so holy? If you're very, very holy. The answer is no. The Hashkaf of the Torah is to be with the people. Their jokes were kadosh. There were limudim, and you could study their jokes. Each one of their jokes is by me as a shimush talmidei chachamim. That's real kedusha. When the sulam is mutzav arza, it's grounded, and it's still megala rosha magila shemaima, that they're connected to the top. That's the avoda of kedusha. That's ata kadosh, the bracha of kedusha. That's the midah of Yaakov Avinu. And that's what he was megala when he went to sleep in this place. Why did he see this here? What was this place that he went to bed? What was the significance of this place? Where was it? It was the makam of the mikdash, right? The makam of the mikdash. What's the mikdash? The mikdash is exactly this. The mikdash is a place that shows us that there could be kedusha down here. In fact, the mikdash, there's two mikdashes. There's a mikdash shel mala, a mikdash in Shemayim, and there's a mikdash shel mata. And the whole purpose of the Beis HaMikdash down here is to show us that Hashem can rest here. The Shechina could dwell among us. That's Kedusha. Yaakov fell asleep there and found out how he was a Beis HaMikdash. Yaakov was a Beis HaMikdash. Incredible. Incredible. That was the avoda of Yaakov Avinu, was be able to fuse Shamayim and Aretz. And the Nefesh HaChaim goes as far as to say that all of us have this capability. All of us have Yaakov Chevel Nachlaso. That Yaakov's lot was a rope. What's a rope? It's a funny lot. Oh, Yaakov got a rope. No, a rope means you're attached. I'm afraid to do bungee jumping. I can't do it, and I saw videos of my brother-in-law did it, you know, with those the video cams. You can watch it. Yeah, in South America, yeah. It's frightening, but in theory, if you really know you're tied by a rope, I mean, I'm not able to do it, but if you know you're tied to a rope, as one of the Bachram coined here once when he heard me say this concept, one of the Bachram will be Mazkirim Zevi Hoffman. He said, hope is a rope. When you know you're connected, you're not going to fall. Yaakov Chevel Nachlaso was a haftacha that Yidden are always connected to Shamayim. We may sometimes forget that we're Kadosh. We may not always act that way. But if we would realize Yaakov Chevel Nachlaso, that we're so attached, then we would make our lives much more meaningful. We would add kedusha to the mundane. We would take rocks that look like lifeless matter, pachim ktanim, the kedusha of the bris, and bring meaning to it all. That was the avoda of Yaakov, and that's why his face is on the kisei hakavod. Because his face is on the kisei hakavod, because he's the whole. Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that a human being down here should look like something above. And when you look at Yaakov down here, you would see the Kisei HaKavod. When you see the Kisei HaKavod, you see what's going down here, which shows there's a bridge between these two worlds. So this was the limud that we learned today. It's a very chashuva limud. We learned about the Kedusha of Yaakov. That's why he's called Kadosh. That's why he's a fusion of Avram and Yitzchak Savoda. Like we said last time, he's the Yoshev Ohalim. He sits in two tents, the tent of Avram and the tent of Yitzchak, but because he shows you how everything converges, he shows you how 12 becomes 1, 12 becomes 13, he shows you how anything in this world that you might think is not significant is significant and could be Megala Kavod Shamayim, and he shows us that there's a Makom Mikdash, that there's a place in the world that we can be tapped in, and we can capitalize on that. We still have the Kaisel, which is still a Makom Shechina. What does Shechina mean? It means still to this day, you go to the Kaisel, and it's the Shar HaShamayim. You're actually directly connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the place where the wiring is still exactly perfect. I mean, for what it is. And when the Beis HaMikdash comes, it'll be better. But it never left. The Kaisel Maravi still has the Shechina there. Yaakov saw the greatness of Klal Yisrael in this dream. Yaakov Avinu saw the greatness of Eretz Yisrael in this dream. That it's all Kedusha. That we're surrounded by Kedusha. We live lives of Kedusha. And we have to try to remind ourselves. We have to remind ourselves that everything can be elevated in our lives. There's nothing in our life that's really chol. Every part of our lives, like the Chovas Halvava says, that there's no real gray in life. If you're doing something good, it's good. If you're doing something bad, it's bad. There's nothing that's in between. They once saw the Briskerov taking a walk. You know, I think it was, I don't even remember if it was Motzi Yom Kippur or it was during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, strolling this day, walking during that. He says, I walk because it's Ratzon Hashem. So what does it matter what time it is? It's always Ratzon Hashem. If people know something's Ratzon Hashem, so they can take a stroll at this time, at that time, it doesn't make a difference. If we're living in Kedusha, then we always ask ourselves, what are we doing in our day that is Megala Hashem's presence? The Rambam writes, if a person sleeps to get rest for learning Torah, their sleep is Kadosh. If they eat to have Kawach, their food is Kadosh. If they exercise to have a certain amount of clarity of thought, the basketball is Kadosh. All the things in our lives that seem like rocks are not rocks. And Klal Yisrael only begins once we learn this wonderful lesson of Ata Kadosh, Vishimcha Kadosh, and the Kedoshim who are Mekadesh Shemecha. That's Klal Yisrael.